Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. And how are you doing today? Is everything going okay?
Everything is great. Good. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I just finished that book, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I read it in 3 days. I love this book. This is great for anybody who is finding that they're procrastinating or they just don't know why they're not getting their stuff done. Simple little stuff. But you know what? That turns into big stuff sometimes. And for me, that's what was happening. It's just, there was no reason. It's simple. But I couldn't do it. I would do anything else except for certain things. I read that book. Oh, my gosh. This place looks like a dream place now. It's really interesting. So I highly recommend it. I wasn't even going to say anything, but I'm saying 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 about 30 times a day now. And I'm getting it done. Yeah.
Now,
all right. Okay.
Our guest today is Anna, I hope I pronounced this correctly.
Johnny.
Yes.
Please. Remember, I was going to talk a little bit first before we brought the guest on. Okay.
My apologies.
Yes. Just because this is a special show, and I don't want to just, like, bring her on and just bombard her with the first question. This is very, very sensitive stuff here. It's not a subject that people actually want to talk about. They don't really enjoy talking about it. The subject today is child abuse. And although people don't want to talk about it, it's not a favorite subject out there. It is so very, very important about it because that's the only way that you are going to heal. And if you do talk about it, like on our show, this platform, you will be helping people. And that is a form of healing as well. So with that said, I'd like to bring on our guest now. Welcome to the show, Anna Eves.
Thank you, Barbara.
You are welcome. So what I was saying in the beginning of the show, is this true for you? Is this really still hurting for you to talk about what happened to you as a child?
I think sometimes it comes and goes. Sometimes I feel very strong and just like I could share it with the world. I could shout it from the rooftop. Anybody that would want to ask a question or, you know, if they are being abused or if they're not sure if they're being abused, that kind of thing. It's just like, yeah, superpower. And other times it still feels a little fragile. And I think that's part of the healing process, you know. And so you start to have more of those super days where you could just take on the world and tell everybody and let people know there's healing and hope and restoration. And some days you just are kind of like, yeah, okay, not today. And you
right.
just have to kind of be gentle with yourself and get through those hard days.
I totally understand. But also when you do talk about it, do you feel that each time, I'm assuming that you have, that this is not your very first time talking about it, correct?
No, correct.
I didn't think so. Okay, so when you do talk about it, though, do you feel maybe a little bit better each time, or are you reliving it? Because PTSD is a big thing that goes on with victims of child abuse, and so if you imagine it happening or picture it happening, that flash in your mind, that could be a very, very upsetting. I mean, that could just set.
It sure can.
I mean, it does me. Yeah. Sets you off. You
yes,
cry.
It sure can.
Yeah. Okay.
I think to answer that, it depends on the situation. If I'm one-on-one with another woman, or if I'm one-on-one with a child, or if I'm one-on-one with a man, or a young man, or even anybody, whatever their age, really whatever their gender, each time I think is different according to what the other person might be looking for, or what their questions are, or how did you do this, how did you do that, or if it's just kind of like, okay, I've got 5 minutes, tell me your life story, so I think it's kind of an intuitive thing where you just try to tailor the story to that person. You don't want to come on and just blast somebody, with all the gory details, but at the same time, if their heart is open, or if they're really struggling, then sometimes they need those details. And so even though I'm the same person, it's like telling any story of your life. You tailor it to that specific need at that specific moment.
As far as
flashbacks and stuff, I don't really have that so much. Every once in a while, like maybe once or twice a year, I'll have a nightmare, and those can be pretty devastating, but not as frequently as right at first when it was constantly all the time. So I think does with healing comes less and less of those flashbacks and nightmares.
Okay. And I bet it really depends, like you were saying, it's everybody's different. So say if you're telling a family member who doesn't even know that this has happened, then that would be probably a lot more emotional, I can imagine.
Yes. Yes.
Because you're dealing with their emotions too.
Right. And it may be something that they are processing, something that happened to them, and I didn't even know. Because the thing about abuse in a family is it separates people, and everybody kind of starts walking on eggshells, like, did it happen to you? Did it happen? Do you know about this? Well, what about that? And, there's so many secrets that get started that way. And, love and relationship. Yeah, love and relationship just can't flourish with those kind of secrets.
Oh, that is a very good point. So you have to get all that out before you can really have that real closeness. That makes a lot of sense. So did this happen within your family then, to where you did find out there were other victims from the same abuser?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
From the same abuser, yes.
And how do you feel? Are they alive?
No, they've passed on.
Okay, so were you coming out and telling people while they were alive?
A little bit, maybe to like a sibling, my spouse at the time. When I was thinking about our talk for tonight, I was remembering that I didn't even really realize or really bring it to the front of my mind until I was in my mid-20s. And I was already married to that spouse and had a child. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was the goofiest thing, but there was a TV movie on about a woman that had been sexually abused in her family. And I'm just sat there like with this cold chills, like, oh my gosh, that's me, and then the memories just flooded. And, and then I talked to a sibling and they had experienced the same thing. And when I spoke with my other siblings, not about the sexual abuse, but just kind of in general, they revealed that they had been very severely physically abused, you know, beaten and, you know, things like that. So, like I said, you know, there's so many secrets because it's just so painful and devastating when you're a child. You don't know what's going on, you know.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. So I wanted to start to get into your story a little bit. And, you know, you're going to tell us what you want. And I don't need gory details, but I just wanted to know how old you were when this started.
Okay. Actually, some of my earliest memories. So I was like a little kid, like maybe 3 or 4 or 5, 6, you know, maybe at the oldest, until I was 14 in high school. And it was several times a week. Wow. So it was pretty severe.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
And you would never know. You would never know. And that is hard sometimes because knowing you, this very successful woman, nurturing mom, grandma, wonderful wife, full of life, athletic, healthy woman, you just would not imagine that happening. And because it doesn't have a face. You know, victims, they don't have a face. Abusers don't have a face. You can't say,
exactly.
Oh, he's like a pedophile. No, he could
exactly.
be a wonderful,
if only.
Pastor.
Yeah, if only they did. You know, if a pedophile had a big black X on their forehead or something, then we'd know. But, you know, we all have that little voice inside of us that says there's danger. But when it's someone in your family and you're, you know, 6 years old, what are you supposed to do? You know, and
exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's very confusing. I call it soul murder. You know, they may not murder your body, but your soul is murdered. And that takes a long time to crawl out of that. And it's a lot of hard work. I mean, you know, I remember when I started getting all the memories and the PTSD and the nightmares, and I'd wake up, you know, clawing the air and screaming and crying. You know, so I went and saw my family physician and told him, you know, just a part of it. And he recommended counseling. And so I had the most wonderful counselor. And for a couple of years, I went and saw my counselor like 2-3 times a week.
Wow, that's a lot.
And then
that is a lot.
It was very intense. And, you know, there was lots of times when, you know, we would go through things and it was just, you know, the familiar phrase, it's gut-wrenching, but it really is. And then, you know, come home and try to be wife and mom and church lady and sing in the choir and do this and do that. And when your heart is just broken in a million pieces. And, you know, but, you know, after a couple of years, then I started going once a week. And then after a year or so, went every couple weeks. And then after another bit of time, you know, every couple of weeks, and then got to the point where my counselor said, you're ready, you know, go do what you have learned. And I remember just looking at them and just being like, are you kidding me? You're kicking me out of the nest. How am I ever going to do this? You know? And, but they were, and amazingly I had a male counselor but that was okay because he was so gentle. And, but yeah, he just said, go do what you have learned. And so I always remember that if something comes up that's harsh or I have a memory or whatever, it's like, okay, I don't have to react that way. I have learned a different way. I have, you know, that person can't hurt me anymore. It's just a dream or, you know, all of the things that we go through, to kind of reorient back to your real life. You know, it's like, yeah, it's that person can't hurt me anymore. And like you've said so many times, Barbara, it's if it just helps one person to hear a hard story, then it's worth it. You know, it
yes.
is worth it.
And it really is. And they don't even have to be a victim themselves. I wanted
right.
to raise a very good point. If we all were more aware of this, I mean,
yes.
1 in 7 children in the United States
yes.
has been affected by this. It's 1 in 4
right.
girls and 1 in 5 boys. So this, you know, 1 in 7
yes.
people have had this
yes.
happen. So that is a lot of people out there that have not probably even said anything and are holding
yeah.
it in. And you held it in for until your 20s, you said,
yes.
correct?
Yes,
wow.
exactly. And
no.
and during that whole time of growing up, I always thought there was something wrong with me because I hated that family member with intense hatred. But
oh,
I
yeah.
thought, oh, I'm just a bad person because I can't love that person. You know, other people in the family seem to get along with them and you know, in business or in churches or, you know, whatever. And so I carried that and it's like, wow, you know, that's how twisted the perpetrator, the abuser, makes your life become so twisted, you know, and your own personal thoughts, you know.
So. I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, do you feel that to a certain extent that something was taken away from you that you'll never get back, or do you think that you'll never be able to get over it?
I think you can get over it. I think
okay.
it probably takes a lifetime. For me, it was extremely intense therapy for, you know, like I said, several years. Lots of prayer, you know, full disclosure, I am a woman of faith. I have a very close relationship, you know, that I feel I have a close relationship in prayer and with God. And that doesn't work for everybody. You know, it's like in Celebrate Recovery or AA, they say your higher power. And that's cool. I mean, you know, whatever it takes to help you untwist what the abuser has twisted in your mind. And one thing, too, I'm very cautious about my words. Like, instead of saying my abuser, I say the abuser. Or I say when that happened, rather than saying, you know, I was a victim or something like
right.
that. Which certainly I was a victim. I mean, I was a little kid. But the warrior in you, you know, in each of us hears that. And so if I say, you know, I'm, you know, I'm no good, I'm not worthy, I was abused, I'm less than, or I could never find love because of all of these horrible memories. Those are all just lies from, you know, from the pit of hell, I think. And anything that can keep us from surviving is just a total lie, I think. And so I'm very cautious because I want the warrior in me to rise up and say, yes, that happened. Yes, I was a victim. Then I was a survivor. And now I'm a thriver. You know,
yes.
I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to be just a survivor. I want to be a thriver and help others, you know, if it's
so
all
good.
Possible.
Yes, and don't you think that that is part of the reason why people don't want to tell? Because they feel like they are a victim and they hate feeling
yes.
that way.
Yes. yes. Or it's like you're the only one in the entire population of the United States or the world or whatever. Which, like you said, Barbara, it's a huge statistic. I remember one time I was putting on a charity dinner, with a dear friend of mine, and there were 8 people around each table. And I remember thinking, 3 to 4 of the women that are seated at this table have been abused and have never told anyone. And 2 to 3 of the men or their husbands or, you know, their pastor or their whomever, you know, sometimes their own children have never told anyone. And I'm like, that leaves like 1 or 2 people at this table of 8 that have not experienced that. And that really puts
so
it in
crazy.
Perspective.
It
yeah.
really does. It really
Or you
really
figure
does.
like a stadium full of people, you know, back when we could go to football games or baseball games and stuff before the plague, you know, you figure just looking down that row of, say, 20 people or whatever, there's going to be 11 or 12 or 13 people that have experienced that soul murder and that are just trying to survive.
It
totally
murder.
Is.
Oh, because yep. so many things can happen to a person who has experienced this as a child, depression,
yes.
even
yes.
a lot of physical ailments too. And I even
yes.
read it could cause you to die early, even up to
yes.
20 years early.
What
yes, have you
it
experienced?
Can. Yes, it's there's a lot of like what they call the startle reflex. Like if my poor husband walked in the house the other night, you know, and I didn't really hear, I was kind of distracted. I don't know what I was doing. And he's like, "Hey babe, I'm home." And I just shrieked, you know, and
yeah.
but you do, you have that startle reflex. And in little kids, it's very difficult for them to concentrate. Like in school, you always are on your guard. You're always looking. You're always thinking, A, I don't want this secret to get out. And B, there could be someone in this room that might try to hurt me, you know, trap me in a corner or scare me or something like that. And that takes a long time to heal from that, you know. So,
yes.
Johnny, to answer your question, yes, I think – you can, I think people can be completely healed and restored, but our bodies remember it. And so sometimes even though I feel like I'm healed, there's sometimes when, you know, I say, well, I've forgiven that abuser, but there are days when I have to forgive them all over again, you know. So I think it's something that kind of is with you, like a scar, and it may not be openly bleeding anymore, that scar, but it's still a scar.
Yes.
It just kind of is part of who you are. Yeah. Part of your history. But yeah, I remember one time during my healing, a dear friend gave me a book to read, and they said, you know, when you were talking about physical symptoms and stuff, Barbara, the author of this book said, every day you stay alive is a victory over your abuser.
Even
and it's
just staying
like,
alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Staying
wow.
alive. And, you know, because unfortunately there's a very high incidence of people, you know, taking their own life because the pain is so intense. And it's not
especially
that they want to be dead.
Fought.
Yeah, it's not that they want to be dead and die and miss out on the rest of their life. It's just the pain is so intense. And so I just love that. I hung on to that. It's like every day I'm alive, that's a victory over my abuser. And
yes.
And
but
you know, that what's
I'm
that?
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but
oh,
you
that's
were talking
okay.
about forgiveness and
mm-hmm.
The abuser in my life,
mm-hmm.
I hate
mm-hmm.
him. Okay, I hate
mm-hmm.
him. He's dead. I wish he was alive so I could ruin his life. I know that's not
yes.
forgiveness. I have not been able to forgive him, and I don't even
mm-hmm.
care.
I
don't think I ever can. So how
yeah.
do you forgive that? And do you really forgive? I mean, how do you feel?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Heart?
That is it's a really hard one. I remember I had another book that I was reading, and I just had this thought go through my head. And so I wrote it down real quick, and it said, forgiveness is free, but it will take everything you've got.
That's true.
And yeah, and I just remember I pondered that and pondered that, and that's another, you know, I kind of found that I would get like little phrases go through my mind, or a book or a song or whatever, and I actually started writing them down on sticky notes, and I'd leave them all over my house, you know, and I would be like, okay, that's right. Every day I stay alive, that's a victory over my abuser. And then I'd turn around and forgiveness is free, but it takes everything you've got, you know. And the thing about forgiveness is it's for the survivor. It's not for the person that abused you or abused me. It's not about them at all. Forgiveness brings the victim, the survivor, peace. And because basically what you're doing, you know, I'm very visual. And so it's kind of like, and boy, I went through this big time all through high school, my later teens, early 20s. And I had this vision of just choking the abuser, you know, just choking them. And it sounds very violent, but those are the feelings that you feel. And what forgiveness does is it starts to peel one finger at a time, sometimes just one part of your finger at a time from around their neck, and lets natural consequences come into play. It removes the victim and the survivor from that process. So you can live in peace and live in joy and start reclaiming your own soul and your own life. And it's like, I'm letting life deal with that abuser. And it does. It's a law of the universe, I think, that when an innocent person like a child or, you know, whatever is so brutalized, I just believe that all the forces of the universe come together and, you know, as you forgive, as you take one finger at a time off of that abuser's neck, it's like, okay, go get them, universe. You know?
Okay. And, well, I know you've already helped one person today, and you've already helped me because nobody's ever really been able to explain forgiveness. I mean, they try, and what they say is good. Yes.
Wow.
And
it really is a process. I mean, there's no such thing as just like saying, okay, I forgive that abuser. Now everything is wonderful. It's, you know, you can do that, but you're going to need to be heavily sedated or medicated or alcohol or whatever, because that's just not the way we're built. But if you just think of it in terms of, you know, taking one finger off at a time and just let the universe deal with that person. And then it you get to start to unwrap your soul and find out who you are, find out what talents you've got, find out, you know, basically the child of God that you are, if those bad things had never happened. And that is an amazing discovery. So I guess, Johnny, that goes along with your comment also, is that as we start to unwrap those things, it's like your heart just opens up and you have these gifts. It's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know I could, you know, do crochet, or I could plant a garden, or I could run a marathon or whatever, because the abuser puts you in such an itty-bitty tiny box that you think, oh, okay, that's all I am. But that's not all you are. you know, you pretty soon as your heart opens up and you start opening these gifts that are given to you when you're born or conceived, I believe, but some people say when you're born, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then you go, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could cook fish like that. You know,
wow.
I didn't know I could paddle a canoe. Yeah.
Oh, wow, Anna. I really like that because I never thought about it, but looking at your life in a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
looking back mm-hmm. and visualizing a normal upbringing
mm-hmm.
with a normal surroundings.
Yes.
Yes. And then things just open up. That's so interesting.
That's right. It's like, who would you be if you had, you know, I say that to myself, who would I be if I hadn't been raped continually until I was 14? Who is that person? You know, and I'm finding out, you know, I'm a musician. I like to do athletic things. I like to, you know, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. And because your abuser wants you in that itty bitty box because it's about control. And all of a sudden you just burst out of that box and it's like, wow, I never knew.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think that is really great. And I want to
it
do
is.
That. I
and
actually was doing that a little bit, actually.
Cool.
I look back and I think, okay, no, I didn't have that in my life, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
I can actually, because your brain, you tell your brain something, that's all it is knowing.
Right,
You tell them, your brain, you're a victim, like you were saying earlier.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are days when you still feel like that, you know, I call them my fragile days, and I'm just a little more fragile, you know, I'm just a little more teary, or I don't feel like, oh, geez, I'm so rotten, I can't forgive that person all the way. And then I'm reminded, no, wait a minute, I learned a better way. I learned a different way. I don't have to talk to myself that way. And if you have a fragile day, that's okay. You know, we don't have to be on the run 24/7. Sometimes we get to just sit and contemplate and be a human being, not a human doing, you know, and just watch the birds or look at the flowers or, you know, go look at pretty dresses, even if you don't have a penny in your pocket, you know, just stuff like one of my girlfriends used to say, you know, things that give you life. And you get to do that. You get to enjoy that because that abuser does not have that control over you anymore. We're letting the universe deal with him or her, you know, in some cases it is a female abuser. And you just get to find out who you are, who you were created to be. And that's an amazing discovery.
Really amazing. And you have been doing that. Thank goodness that show came on and you came out with this. You ever wonder if that didn't happen, do you think that you could have still all this time? I don't know how old you are, but all this time, do you think you could have helped him?
Yeah. I'm a long ways from 20.
Well, can you imagine the holding it in since then? That would be so tormenting.
I kind of believe that if it hadn't been that show, it would have been something else. You know, someone I met or a person. I remember at one point we had foster children live with us, and one of the foster children had gone through a similar experience. And so if it hadn't been that movie, then, you know, when they came to live with us, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, that happened too. And then you kind of heal together. You know what I mean? And so I believe it would have been something else because I believe each one of us is put on this earth to do something to help each other. And so, and I also believe that our hearts were not made to carry this much pain and sorrow. And I really believe that we were made to be healed, made to be restored to our full selves, made to, you know, be in relationship in a community and in our city and our world. And so I, you know, I think something else probably would have come down the pipe that would have awakened that in me. If it wasn't that movie, it would have been something else. I guess that's kind of a long ways around to say that. Yeah.
Just knowing you, I have a feeling that as well. Well, do you see, can you detect, say you're in a crowd of people or at a restaurant or an event of some kind, can you spot child and say, I have a feeling that child is being abused?
Yes. Immediately.
Oh, wow. What are the signs?
Immediately. It's a pain. I always say it's a pain behind the eyes. You know, they may be having a little frilly dress on and pretty little shiny shoes and dancing around. But if you can make eye contact, it's a pain behind the eyes. And not only that, but I can spot a perpetrator immediately.
Oh, wow.
And,
because
once you know, have some of those things get healed, you start to trust your instinct. And because that's another thing that the abuser tries to just eradicate is your instinct. Like, whoa, don't go in that room. You know, your little instinct is going off bells and whistles like, oh, don't follow that person down to the basement, or, oh, don't get in the car with that person. But you think, oh, you know, I'm just a little kid and I should be nice and blah, blah, blah. And then something abusive happens and you learn to not trust that. But once that is restored in you and healed in you, then it's like, oh, yeah, no. No, I think, you know, I'm meeting my boyfriend over here, so I'm going to go this way down the street, you know, or whatever. And
this happened recently to me. I got out of a Lyft, like Uber or a Lyft, and I was going to AAA, and I it was closed. Okay, it was closed early, and this man was there, and he said, they closed early on Saturday. Where are you going? Because the Uber left. He saw that I got dropped off. Oh, where are you headed? Where are you headed? I was like, they're closed. Oh, I just took the Uber down here. Where are you headed? Where are you headed? And there is a tiny millisecond where you think, oh, they're probably nice. No, children. No, adults.
Exactly.
Like myself, not get in the car with that. And I didn't care what he thought. You know what? I just told him, you know what? My mom told me to never get in a car with strangers.
Good for you.
As a little kid.
And
he was
still
looking back at me, hoping I'd change my mind. I just I came home and told my daughter, and she's 14, and she thought it was like the most horrible thing that he even asked me.
Absolutely.
You know,
Yes.
And yes. So, I love that she had that reaction to it too.
That is
really
just awesome.
I instilled that in her. Yes.
Yep.
Oh,
that is just awesome. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
And she listens to trusts that. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of little kids are taught stranger danger. And that's important in our world. But the more important thing, I think, is to say, trust your instinct. If somebody gives you a funny feeling inside your tummy or inside your heart or however you want to explain it to your child, then you need to, you need to really pay attention to that and don't ever go against that. You know, because some strangers are nice, like, you know, the store clerk or a policeman or the nurse or whatever. They're technically strangers. And so instead to teach our children to trust their instincts and be like, whoa, you know, like your daughter's reaction, you know, that she is trusting her instincts and that just makes such a huge difference.
Oh, and I want to I asked you if you could see signs. Well, I can too. So this did happen. There was a little neighbor girl who would always come over to our house, a different place, and she was nine, and she was very skinny. And when you talk about, which wasn't a trait of, it just went all together. But when you talked about the look behind the eyes, she had that look. She had it. And the apartment manager, he was taking care of this little girl all the time, every other weekend, when the dad would just drop her off all weekend, and she would be sleeping there at this man's home. And so all the little kids liked going over there because he had special things for the children to look at. Shiny things and crystals and lights and big movie set things to look at, and talk and spoke with a clipped British accent, so he would seem really sophisticated. Oh, he would never do anything wrong. So he didn't look me in the eyes once when I was talking about the children. He couldn't look me in the eyes that day. He kept darting them off to the ground. I knew it then. I knew it then, Anna and Johnny. I knew it. And guess what? My daughter did come and said, this man tried to mess with me. We went straight to the police, and come to find out, that little girl, we saved her because he had been raping and sodomizing her for 6 years, like since she was so little. And he was sentenced to 10 years in prison, but he just got out early. He only, and it took us 3 years. I went every, you know how they're in jail before they're sentenced and you go back and there's all those preliminary things. Well, I went there. I was going to help this mom because the mom was 2 hours away. The dad would go pick up this child and just drop her off at this man's house. Like, what's the point?
Oh,
I thought
goodness.
You wanted to visit your child. And so that's how that happened. And supposedly my child was going to be next. Hello, you just messed with the wrong mama bear.
Yeah, good for you.
And
he
just got out, unfortunately. He just got out 2 years early because of COVID.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But he did 8 years of hard time, and you know how pedophiles are not liked in prison.
No, they're not. It's surprising he survived. I mean, lots of times they don't,
No. So. But one time he came with a broken nose, and it was all bandaged up, and you can only imagine what happened.
Well, that's what we were saying, you know.
I don't care if you're 75, even if you're 80, you can still do this, and you cannot be rehabilitated. That's what they're saying now. They've tried to rehabilitate pedophiles, and they cannot. Once they get out, they're always trying to do it again.
Yes, always grooming. You know, they call it grooming. Like you said, he had, you know, fancy stuff at his place, and, oh, come over and look at it, and blah, 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 and it's just little by little that gradual decline until the little one is being abused, you know. And so I'm so glad that your daughter was aware of that and not afraid to tell. That's very brave. You know, that is so brave.
And it still was so very hard because the children, they don't have vocabulary. They're 5 years old. They don't know, okay, mom, I'd like to sit down and have a talk with you. I mean, they aren't used to that kind of thing. And so I'm leading me to my very most important question because I feel offended sometimes when people would say, well, why didn't you tell? Well, why didn't you tell me? Well, why didn't you tell? I told the sheriff. Mm-hmm. I told a lifelong friend before I was born, a family friend. They laughed. I overheard the conversation with my mother, and they scoffed it off. Okay, if you and if you choose a person and you tell them that that person doesn't believe you or take it seriously, then where do you turn? I mean, that's why. Yeah. That's just one reason why the children are afraid of not being believed. They're embarrassed. They're
right.
feeling ashamed. They shouldn't feel ashamed, but they are. They don't want embarrassment. They don't want people to, ooh, look what happened to you. They don't want it
right.
to fact. So
exactly.
what do you say when people say, oh, well, did you tell anybody? I mean, or why didn't
yeah.
you tell anybody? How do you feel when
right.
people ask you that?
Right. Well, it's very similar to domestic abuse. You know, a lot of times, like women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, they're like, well, why didn't you tell someone? And it's because you are so manipulated and so put in that little tiny box. And you're told, you know, lots of times abusers will say, if you tell anybody, you know, I'll go to jail and then you'll be homeless because, you know, I'm the only one in this family that makes money, you know, or whatever. Or I'll find you and I'll hurt your puppy or I mean, you know, any number of things that a perpetrator will do to keep their victim silent. And
well, what
it's
happened
just
in
like
your case? Of course you wouldn't want to tell because you're probably worried, what are they going to think of me? Or maybe they won't believe me, or I don't see it happening to
right.
my siblings. So it,
right.
I mean, I just guess I won't tell today, and then today moves into tomorrow. And so go ahead
right.
and tell us.
Right. Well, for me personally, I internalized it. I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I did something bad. I thought, you know, everyone else in the family gets along with this person. They were extremely financially successful, leaders in the community, you know, the whole church thing. They were high up in the church. And so I thought, well, geez, if that abuser is that successful, then there must be something wrong with me. See, I internalized it, and that's where it got buried so deeply that I just, until, like I said, until I saw that movie, I just knew I hated that abuser and wanted to do violent things to that person, even though I'm not a violent person. I mean, you know. It's,
what movie are you talking about?
But, yeah. I'm sorry?
Do you remember the movie? The movie.
You know, I don't remember the name of it, but I remember it had, what's that lady's name? Meredith Baxter Burney in it.
I've heard of that.
And, yes, and she's a blonde lady. I'm not even sure if she's still an actor anymore, but it was just, her life was just kind of unraveling. She couldn't figure out why. She thought, well, maybe it's menopause. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's this, maybe I'm not eating right, or I'm drinking too much, or this or that. And it turned out, and I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that it had Meredith Baxter Burney in it. And so this would have been like about 1985.
Okay,
so
you look that up and post that. We
yeah,
look
if,
that
if
up
you
and
look that up,
put that down.
You know, look up
yeah,
her
look
movies,
up.
And then it would have been like I said, about 1985.
The
yes.
Kissing, Please.
So,
let's see.
Did
Johnny,
I need
go
to
ahead and we'll see, we can do that later, Johnny. Johnny, can
my
we do God. That later, please? And we'll then
my
you don't have to be sorry though. It's fine, but I just we don't have a lot of time, and I just
mm-hmm.
will post that on our social media
yeah.
later. So
yeah,
people,
I mean, God bless
you know
Meredith
you.
Baxter Burney, you know. I mean, she was in, like, Hallmark movies or whatever, and I think she was in a TV show, a long, long time ago. But anyway, yeah, I mean, God bless her for having the courage to do a movie like that. And and then there was a second part. Oh, what do you do if you tell someone and they don't believe you? You keep telling. You just keep telling. You have to become unstoppable. And you have to, which is so hard. And just when I would tell someone and they'd be like, oh, come on, you know, that can't be, you know, you misinterpreted that and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I got all of those kinds of things. And it's like, okay, the problem isn't with me. The flaw is with the person I told. There's something in their life that they can't accept that. They can't believe it. Maybe it happened to them. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And you just keep telling until someone listens and believes you.
Okay.
And, you know, even years after the abuser passed away, I did a police report. You know, they were already.
Wow, that's good. That probably made you feel good.
Yeah, because it was empowering for me. You know, obviously there wasn't anything they could do. There couldn't be any arrest or anything, but. And so I went to the police. I told them what happened and for how many years and who the abuser was and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so because it was very empowering, it's like, no, they don't get to have any part of me at all. And
Now,
I have a question.
Was it the rape of Richard Beck or – Kate's Secret.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you said, Johnny. What was that?
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to make one guess at the movie. But go on.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, he was just guessing. She probably doesn't even remember the title of it. I don't think that's going to jog her memory, but we're going to.
I really
going
don't.
To
I mean,
gosh,
later. It's been so long ago, and all that. I mean, maybe if I saw it in the title, like if I Googled it or something, you know, and saw it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's right. But, yeah, I don't have any idea.
Well, we can post a few. It's fine. Okay, let's
sure.
see. I did have some more questions. Okay.
Okay, sure.
I just want to make a point, everybody out there, that abusers, they are crafty individuals. They try to think of everything because if you're in a household and people who you have told, oh, come on. How about, oh, come on to them? Why in the world would you of all people, an upstanding individual, make something so outlandish.
Exactly.
Why in the world
exactly.
would you do that? Come on.
It happens, but it's extremely rare. It's extreme. And why would a child know the names of sexual positions? I mean, that is not something a 6-year-old, 7, 8-year-old would know. Or what it was called. Or how you did that certain thing. I mean, you know, children are not sexual. You know, they're completely innocent. So,
and they that's why they're so confused when it's happening because you don't even really know what that is, and you just know it's wrong. It feels icky. It's horrible.
It hurts.
It's like hell.
It makes you cry. You know, all of those things, and plus then the abuser is saying, "Well, this is what all." This is what all families do. You know, this is normal. And when you're a little kid, you don't know. You're like, oh, okay, this is normal, you know.
Right.
Whereas, of course, it's soul murder. It's not. And so that's another one of the twists that they twist you with. And it's just lie upon lie.
And also, did you feel a little bit like, you were embarrassed actually maybe for your mother who, I mean, I'm assuming she didn't know, but did she know? I mean, there is a weird fine line there with what
there
I've
read. There is a weird fine line. Yes.
Turning the, blind eye thing.
I see my other parent that did not abuse me. I see them as a co-victim because even if she did know, you know, back then, you know, we're talking 45, 50 years ago, it just wasn't talked about. It wasn't, you know, good, quote unquote, good families that didn't happen to. And like I said, they had, you know, they were very, very financially successful leaders in the community, leaders in the church. And here they have this little kid, you know, causing trouble, quote unquote, you know. And so I think of her as a co-victim. I don't know if she knew. She said she doesn't. And so I believe her.
Yes. And they probably would have thought that back then. Some
yeah.
people would have thought,
yeah.
oh, well, why did you
exactly.
have to tell? You know, you should have just not
exactly.
told.
Exactly.
Because now look
yeah.
what you've done, you've ruined the family's name.
You've ruined
you've
the family.
All your
yeah.
siblings.
Yeah, no more trips to Hawaii, no more horses, no more swimming pool, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's, again, a huge burden for a child to bear. But, you know, it's all part of the deception, like you said. It's all trickery. It's all lies. So, but, you know, I want to end with saying that there is hope. There is restoration. There's so many resources now that we didn't have back then. And, you know, it may be a long, long process, but people can untwist their minds. They can untwist their heart and soul and find out, you know, the wonderful person that they really were meant to be. So I,
yes.
you know, I just,
That's
I want to really
wonderful.
Emphasize that.
Oh, wow. You have come so far with being a person who has dealt with that, but so many others too, though. Did that make you feel
yes.
better, though, to find out, okay, you are not the only one, and this is not normal?
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
you know, I'm sure you found that, you realized that when you were a teenager, I'm sure before you saw that movie and came out and went to the therapy sessions, you
mm-hmm.
knew that this mm-hmm. person was just a fan.
Yeah, yeah. Again,
it's hard for the person. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, once your instincts, you start listening to that. And I, you know, that's something I still kind of struggle with because I tend to think, you know, people are good and they'll help you and da-da-da-da. And I forget that there's, you know, a lot of twisting out there. And so it's that's still
mm-hmm.
a process of learning to trust those instincts.
Oh, yes. And when one of that, well, the girl who was saved, who got help. I do talk to that mother every
yes.
so often. And, yes, she's so
exactly.
thankful. But it is sad to hear,
uh-huh.
though, how she
uh-huh.
is doing, the girl, because it wasn't so good. It just wasn't so good for a long time. I should call and see now because counseling is so very important. Like
oh,
you said,
it's,
talking
it's
about
vital.
It
really
important.
Is. Yes, it really is. And a good qualified counselor, you know, that will listen and you know, all of that and gently guide you is absolutely a lifesaver.
Yes, and there's a lot of free out
mm-hmm.
there, I hear.
Yes.
Sometimes there's not in
yes.
certain areas, so that needs to be changed, definitely.
Yes, and if not, you know, there's online resources. You can go to the library. I read tons of books about the subject, and, you know, those are all free resources, and so you don't have to be a gobzillionaire, you know, to get help. You can, there's through the usually through the health department in your city or in your county, there are support groups, you know, and boy, like you said, just knowing you're not alone is just a huge, huge thing.
Oh, yes. You have to, everybody. If you're experiencing it or you think something's off with a family that you know and
yes.
a child that you know and you suspect it, please look into it because these children,
yes.
if they're not getting help, if they don't have anybody to talk to later in life or now, then
right.
some of these children grow up and they become abusers as well. And that is another reason why people don't want to tell, because they tell and everything people have read, well, are you okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they start
that used to just make me so furious. Yes. It used to be kind of a automatic thing, and it's like, oh, man, no, not if you've lived through it and begun your healing journey. You would no more harm a child or something than you would fly to the moon, you know, and and so you're absolutely right. If someone someone out there suspects a woman, you know, in a domestic situation, or you know, the kid down the street, or the kid on your kid's baseball team, or whatever, absolutely, you might be saving that little kid's life.
Yes, and for those who have experienced this abuse, and it is a part of their life now, for those people, you can actually, on your in your daily life.
I was just going to say, and you know, pretty soon after an amount of time and an amount of healing, pretty soon you turn the page on that part of your life, and it's just another chapter in the book of your life, you know.
I was just going to say, use what happened. Use that to be a person who has the eyes open for once.
Yes.
Okay? Be that person like I was. I spotted it like you are. You can spot it. Be that person. Open your eyes up. And
yes.
Okay.
And
it
don't,
happened.
Don't let
I don't want to
fear
say it
and shame
to you, but
yeah.
Don't let it. Use what
don't
happened
let
to
fear
you.
And shame. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Use your power for good, and don't, you know, try not to give in to the fear and the shame. And it's hard. You know, like I said, it takes everything you've got, but it is so worth it. It is so worth it. And the world needs what people were meant to be. You know, the world needs that. And
That's right. It sure does. And yes, try to work on your forgiveness like I'm going to, because I wasn't trying before this day.
Mm-hmm.
But from what you said, I think it might be possible now. And then I could be living free.
Yay.
See, mine was a lot of the hitting. And so I have this lot of the PTSD with the hitting.
Yes,
and you
I
see
bet.
So much violence.
I bet.
Oh my gosh, rampant violence. And it's just, I need to be able to be 100% free to where it's for me, not for that person. And not,
exactly.
I should forgive him though. No, for me, yes, to be free.
It is for you. Yep. Yep. It's all, it's totally for you. And then, you know, the universe, God, higher power, whatever people want to believe in. But wow, that is a fearful place for that abuser to be. You know,
give them that fear that you endured. You know, there's to endure this fear. Okay, well, there's one place that they should be, and because, like I said, they cannot be rehabilitated that we know of. It hasn't really been successful when they tried. So let's crack down. I actually do eventually someday want to start a foundation for abused children. Yes.
Cool.
I really do. It's just something that I've felt this for a long time strongly.
Nice. Nice. Oh, that'd
be
great.
Part of somebody. Yes. At first, maybe just be a part of somebody else's that is really doing a good job right now, and learn more about it, and then have my own, because I really want to help these little children out there. So thank you so much, Anna, for coming and sharing your story and helping me and helping so many others, I'm sure, who are listening. We really appreciate your time.
Yes, you are very welcome. You're very welcome. My pleasure.
And we're so glad to hear, because I didn't really know, you know, how it is for you now. And I'm so glad to hear that you worked through this, that it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
You worked a lot of time on this and very hard on making yourself healthy and getting your soul back.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Your soul and your mind, your heart, and then you're free to love. You're free to be in relationship. You're free to help in your community, like you said, you know, starting a foundation for children. And, you know, that is an amazing thing that you want to do. And, you know, that's part of one of the gifts that you get to unwrap and see what that is going to look like in the next, you know, coming time when you get to open your foundation and be free of that. And I just think that's so exciting. That's just one of the gifts that you received, you know. So
I think
it's
so.
Just,
we can look
exciting.
At it like that. We can look at it like that because I feel like I'm stereotyped, and not just how Johnny thinks I'm always stereotyped, but people don't ever think I have a problem. Like, nothing ever happened to her. Nothing's ever happened to her. Oh, look at the charmed life, the model, the actress. You know, they really do have a warped sense about models, actresses, celebrity-type people. And, hey, we are human, too. We were children, too. And so I think that I could actually get through to a lot more people.
Oh, I think so, too. I think so, too. And that'll just be awesome. I'll come to the ribbon cutting when you open the door on your foundation.
You know what? I already had pictured when I was telling you about it today on the show. I already had it pictured in my mind, you speaking there.
Yep,
doing a speech. So I'm going to up it.
That'll be
great. You're
going
to cut the ribbon, and then you're going to speak.
There we go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anna.
You are welcome. It was good to talk to you, and you too, Johnny. Of course, we're not meeting in person, but for right now, this is the format we have, and so thank you very much.
Yes, and do you know that I've never even met Johnny in person?
Oh, for heaven's sake. Wow.
He lives in Florida.
Isn't that something?
He hopes to fix in August.
Oh, my goodness.
He wants to visit. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he can come to your foundation's opening, too.
That would be awesome. Oh, I just wanted to give out one number and a little shout-out, and then we'll say goodnight.
Okay. Okay.
Everybody, you can reach help by calling the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-422-4453. It's a 24/7 crisis support line. So if you forget that number, you can look it up or find our show. It's written in the description on YouTube. And we also have this link on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So follow Life, Laughter, Happiness. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we appreciate you listening tonight. Thanks, everybody. And thank you so much, Anna Eve. What a beautiful name, by the way.
Isn't that pretty? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Johnny.
Good night, Barbara.
Good night. Good night, everybody.